Good morning, everyone. Good morning to the people watching this broadcast in the West, in Axis, and in the International Service. Welcome. So glad to see all of you. It's so good to be back here. It's a bit loud. Just lower the feedback a little bit. It's so good to be here. Some of you asked me, you know, how come my hair color changed, you know? I would love to give you a very spiritual answer because I miss all of you. I pray for you so that Christ will be formed in you. But that would be a lie, right? The truth is that I got eczema, so I can't dye my hair. That's all right? Nothing spiritual about it. But I've had this hairstyle since I was 30-something years old. So serving as a pastor, very tough, you know. But at least I still have hair, right? Amen. All right? Turn to your neighbor. Oh, no. No, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Chandra, at least I still have hair. Amen. At least I wash my face. I know where to stop. Amen. Okay, sorry, enough insult. Those of you in the West, look at some of the people around you and say that pastor is talking about you. Praise God. Now, it's already September 2025. We're coming to the end of this year. So please don't disappoint me, all right? The focus for this year, come on, help me, is when He speaks. When He speaks. You see, God longs to speak to us more than we long to hear from Him. And one of the ways that God speaks to us is through the Scripture. Now, let me share something personal. Just lower the volume a little bit. It's kind of loud for me. Let me share something personal. I read the Bible once through every 7 months. And every 2 to 3 years, I will read a different version of the Bible so that I can get the Word of God impact my life in a fresh way. For example, I've read through the NIV version of the Bible for many years. NLT, ESV, Message, TLB. I even attempted to read through the Chinese Bible. I couldn't even go through the book of Matthew. It's just too tough. I've been doing this for many years. In truth, I have built up a good routine. Now, don't get me wrong. Routine is not a bad thing. But the problem that I have here is that this routine has truly become a routine. I will spend time reading the Bible, but I don't spend time meditating on what I have read. You see, to read the Bible is for me to go through the Bible. To meditate on the Bible is for the Bible to go through me. And that's a big difference. So what happened is that I begin to reschedule my devotion time and I begin to allocate more time to meditate, not only to read the Bible. And as I meditate, I also do one other thing. Crucial, crucial, crucial thing. What is that? I begin to take the time to really confess my sin. Really take the time to confess my sin. So with that introduction, I'd like to bring your attention to the book of 1 John. This letter, 1 John, encourages the believer to live with love, obedience, and fellowship with God. So we're going to look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 10. These few verses teaches us how to fellowship with God through confession. It highlights that confession is a key to fellowship with God. Now, look at me. How many of you long to have a deeper friendship with God? Come on, lift up hands and give me a wave. Amen. How many really, really, not just saying, not just whatever, how many really want to be tight with God? Come on, lift up your hands. All right, so this is a key lesson. This is something very fundamental, but so, so, so important. So let's look at those verses. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through to 10. I'm going to read the odd verses while you read the even verses. Let me begin. Verse 5. The Bible says, "This is the message we have heard from God and declare to you. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all." Verse 6, you go. "If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." Verse 7, let me read. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." Verse 8, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins,
God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Last verse, verse 10. Everybody in full voice, please. The Bible says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not. Today I want to talk to us about confessing to God. It's such a simple thing, but so key. Not just read the Bible, not just do a religious ritual, but really take the time to confess. Because confession of our sins is one sure way to ensure that we have a close fellowship with God. What does walking in God's ways truly mean? How do we do that? Let me pull out two thoughts for us from these six verses. Number one, to confess to God, we must firstly begin with this realization that God invites us to walk in His light. God invites us to walk in His light or to walk in the light. Now in verse 5, John declares this. He says that God is light. This is the beginning of this passage that we just read. In verse 5, John said, this is the message that we have heard from God and now declare to you. What is that message? God is light. Turn to your neighbor on left and right. Tell them, God is light. Come on, tell them. God is light. In Him, there's no darkness at all. You see, the Bible references God's light to two attributes of God. God's salvation and God's holiness. On salvation, we can look at Psalm 27, verse 1. King David wrote these words. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. To see God's light is to see God's salvation. To come into a place where, bang, a light turned on. We come to church. So many times I hear stories. People come to church. They hear time and again, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Then finally, bang, a light came on. A eureka moment. Got it. God loves me. They receive salvation. So, Bible says, God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Isaiah 49, verse 6. The prophet wrote, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So, one attribute is God's salvation. The other attribute, referencing to God's light, is that of God's holiness. You see, light symbolizes the flawless perfection of God. All who claim to be in fellowship with God lives in the light. We cannot live in darkness. If to say that, hey, God, I'm close to you. To be close to God is to be close to the light. We cannot be living in darkness anymore. How do I know that? Now, let's look at verse 6. Now, here in verse 6, John debunks the first wrong notion. It says this, if we claim to have fellowship with God, who is the light, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. So John is confronting this wrong notion. It's impossible. It doesn't jive. To say that I have close friendship with God, I am fellowshipping with God, who is the light, and yet walk in darkness. The Bible says we lie and we do not live out the truth. Now, allow me to explain the word walk. Because the truth is that even though we fellowship with God, we still sin. From time to time, we still sin, wrong thoughts, wrong words, impatience, angry. But what does the Bible say? So let's look at verse 6. The word walk here, it refers to a persistent lifestyle of sin. You walk. You choose to walk in darkness. You refuse to change. You know that you're not living a godly lifestyle and you refuse to talk to anybody. I come to church on Sunday, I worship God. What a wonderful name here. Whatever. Then on the side, I have an adulterous relationship. All right? Weekend, I spend time with my wife. Weekday, when I go to work, I have some adulterous relationship in the office. I don't give a rip. Sunday is Sunday. Church is church. Life is life. I come to church, I do my God thing, and then I go back to the office. What do? I fudge number, I filter the fund from the office into my own account, I lie, and I refuse to change. That's me. 我就是这个 pattern, 就是我是这样子的. 新加坡嘛,要实际一点嘛, 这个教会归教会嘛, 唱点歌算了嘛, 这个是真的. So we think like that, we refuse to change. So the Bible says we choose to walk in darkness. We come to church, we serve God, and then at night we serve porn. But we refuse to change. There is no struggle. I'm a man, I'm a guy, I have my testosterone, I need to release myself. And we lie, we refuse to change. So the Bible is referring to this. Say that it is untenable. It is wrong. Because, look, friends. To confess to God, we must first begin with the realization that God invites us to walk in His light. And to walk in God's light means that we don't live a lifestyle of persistent sin. Because the truth is this, if we truly have fellowship with God, we know that God is a good God. Can someone say amen? Not just a concept. If we truly fellowship with God, we know God's heart. If you fellowship with somebody, you know someone's heart for you. And if you truly fellowship God, you know that God is good. He loves me. All His ways are good. The thing He wants me to do is not for His sake. It's not like some insecure parents. You better listen to me or I'll whack you. You make me tool in front of my relatives. So, oh, quiet. No. God asks us to do what is right for our own sake. Everything from the beginning until the end, He has always been our sake. He came from heaven to earth. He doesn't have to come down. He could have just let the whole earth implode. Just let it rip. But He came from heaven to earth, put on monkey skin to be like us. For our sake, He went to the cross. For our sake, He wrote the Bible, not because He's forgetful, not because He needs to chronicle His own memory, He needs to do journal to show somebody. He's not doing this so they can sell books and then the royalty goes to Him. He wrote the Bible for our sake. So if we have truly fellowship with God, we will come to a point where we know that all of God's ways are for our good. So we don't walk in God's light because we must, we have to, but because we want to. So that's what God's word is telling us. We got to come to this place. And then in verse 7, now watch, this is so important. I'm talking to us about when God speaks, right? So one of the things that God speaks to us is that we got to not just hear, but we got to take the time to confess. How do we do that? To confess, it must first begin with the realization that God invites us to walk in the light. And to walk in the light means that we don't live in persistence. And yes, we struggle. All of us struggle from time to time. But we have to come to a place and say, God, I don't want to sin. I don't want to live in this lifestyle. Now, every time I got any opportunity, I talk bad about the church. I don't know why. Anybody just come to me and just ask me a very innocent question. How's the church? Why? Oh, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Something is wrong. I got to deal with that. It's not right. And secondly, to walk in the light, if we are walking in the light, it will also be reflected in the way we relate with other people. That's so telling. I love God's word. You know? Sometimes we deceive ourselves. I love God. Why? I come to church, I sing very loud one there. Yeah, even though I don't sing in tune, I sing very loud. I sing harmonizing some more, five-part harmony. I know every song, I read the Bible. I'm not rubbishing this, but I tell you honestly, some of the people, right, who knows the Bible the best are the most difficult people to live with. I go and talk to them. What this verse? Ah, I know. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I know. 1 Kings. Wow, all this learning. I only know one. John 11:35, I think. Jesus wept. That's my memory verse. But the Bible says that if we truly walk in the light, it will be reflected in the way we relate with people. Is it my opinion? No. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. As I've said on numerous occasions, the cross has two axes. There's a vertical axis and there's a horizontal axis. The vertical axis represents our relationship with God. The horizontal axis represents our relationship with one another. We need both axes to establish the cross. One axis without the other is incomplete. One axis will also affect the other axis. If we are truly walking in the light, it will be reflected in the way we relate to other people. The way we love people is a clear reflection of our love for God. And if we truly love God, we will love people. So it doesn't go, you know, I love God, but I hate people. It doesn't jive. It's both exist. Both are important. One quote that I read recently, I didn't put that on the slide, but you listen, right? This is so painfully true. The quote goes this way. We really only love God as much as the person we love the least. Wow. Hang there for a while. We can do auto call already, but never mind, okay? We really only love God as much as the person we love the least. We only really love God as much as the person we love the least. So that's what the Bible tells us. If we truly walk in the light, it will be reflected in the way we relate with people, how we treat people, how we talk to people, how we treat people who are not lovable, not likable, challenging, all these things. So if we were to distill Christianity down to its bare essence, it's about loving God and loving people. It's about loving God and loving people. So let's summarize point one. Look at me one more time, please. This is important. I'm talking to us about confessing to God. Turn to your neighbor. Say, confessing to God. Come and tell them. Confessing to God. How do we do that? Where does it begin? It begins by this realization that God invites us to walk with Him. And if we are truly walking with God, means that we don't live in persistent sin. What's up? I'm an adulterer. I choose to do this. I do this. I do this. I gamble every weekend. I just do that. I just do this. Wrong. And we truly walk with God, it also be reflected in the way we relate with one another. So that's point number one. Point number two, to confess to God, we must acknowledge our sins. We acknowledge our sins. In verse 6, the verse that we read earlier, John tackles the first wrong notion that it is possible to fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness. And then in verse 8 and verse 10, John tackles the second wrong notion. Let's look at verse 8. The second wrong notion that John tackles is this. He said that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we said that I don't sin. I'm okay. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good guy. Right, we deceive ourselves. Verse 10. Can we read together verse 10, please? Everybody on the camera as well, on the screen as well. Everybody in full voice, please. Verse 10. The Bible says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar and His word is not in us. You said that I don't sin. We make God out to be a liar. I think this will be a good time to clear up some possible confusion with some of the ushers who serve in the Access Auditorium. You see, whenever I preach in the Access Auditorium, I'll stay in the green room before coming up to preach because I kind of rest and prepare, right? And sometimes during almost every time during the service, there'll be this communion section. And then segment. And then the ushers will be very kind. They'll go back to me because they don't want me to miss out. So they offer me communion, right? And because I may have taken communion in the earlier service, and also communion is just before I come on stage, so I need to go to the toilet to relieve myself. So more often than not, I'll say thanks, but no thanks. So sometimes not only do I say thanks, but no thanks, sometimes, you know, I'd like to be a bit playful. So I say, they give me communion, I say, I thought that this one for Christian only. And then those usher who knows me will say, Pastor, very funny, you. There's some pastor who are a little bit more innocent, they look at me. Pastor, you not Christian, ah? Or sometimes I try to be even more playful. I say, why give me communion? It's not for sinners only, what? I don't sin, but you take lah. I think you need two or three. Take more lah. You take more. Again, those who are in church long enough say, Pastor, you're very funny. You're very funny. You know. And then those more innocent ones, they have left our church already. Okay, so too bad. God's word is clear for crying out loud. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Come on, everybody. If you consider a sinner, you read out. If you're not a sinner, you keep quiet. But after that, you become a sinner because you lie, okay? Okay. Romans 3, 23. Everybody, please. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Even me. I know how to believe, but it's true. For all have sinned. Akau, Anil, Atu, Asai, Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Mary, everyone, all No one is ever to meet the perfect standard of God. So right now, do me this big favor. Not do it in a funny way, right? Just do it in a serious way. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a sinner in need of grace. Come on, tell them. I'm a sinner in need of grace. This will be a good time for the husband to tell the wife, I'm a sinner in need of grace. All of us, we need to acknowledge and confess our sins. As shared earlier, I changed my schedule so that I'm able to allocate more time to not just read the Bible, but to meditate on the Bible. And as I meditate, I also take the time for confession. And this is a model that is shown to us during the time of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible says, the early people, they stood where they were, and they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of a day. So they spent a quarter of a day, I don't know, 3 hours, 6 hours reading the Bible, reading the word, the book of the law. And then they said that they spent another quarter in confession. So not just read. They confess. And in worshiping the Lord, their God. Not just read. Hey, friends, look at me. Reading the Bible is easy. I'm telling you. Now, in my role as Love Singapore, I always go around knocking people. And I don't think people really like me a lot, but that's fine. I'm just telling you that growing up in a society like Singapore, reading is easy. We like to read one. We like to read. We like to learn. Attend calls. Read. Learn. I told a lot of pastors. You as a Christian, you want to make money in Singapore? Very easy one. Just write something very profound, right? And then put into a book on nice hotel. Go and teach. Sell the books. You make money already. Yeah, we like to read. But to read is one thing. To respond is another thing. Am I not right? Reading is easy. But learn only, right? Attend class now. BSF. Nothing wrong with that. Just learn now. Attend seminary. Attend now. Just learn ma. No responsibility. Share ma. Or share the knowledge. Share. You do ma. So the word of God tells us in Nehemiah chapter 9, they spent a quarter reading, they spent another quarter in confession. Now, the question is this, why is taking the time for confession important? Now, let me give you an illustration. Imagine, right, you don't feel well, you're going to see a doctor. And then you see the doctor, you tell the doctor, sakit lah, something, I don't feel well. Is that true? Absolutely true. But doctor can't help you very much because you're too general. It could be more specific. Doctor, I don't feel very well. Top half of my body, better. But tell me more. My right hand, better. But tell me more. Shoulder, much better. But tell me more. Oh, like that, okay. Like that cannot. Doctor, look at your situation. Doctor, no. You got a frozen shoulder. You need to take this medicine, take that medicine, do this therapy, do that therapy, do this exercise, do that exercise. It's the same when it comes to confession. If we are general, which a lot of us are, I'm sorry, God, I'm sinful. I'm not like Jesus. It sounds sexy, it sounds so spiritual, but it's totally not helpful. To begin with, honestly, it can communicate a lack of sincerity. I'm sorry, I'm not like Christ. 谁不懂? 100 years, if you can live so long, you still say the same thing, it's still true. Am I not right? I'm sinful, I'm sorry, I'm not like Christ. Wise parents, a lot of parents here, I'm sure when you teach your kids, you use this method. The kid come to you and say, Papa, sorry. What will you say? Sorry? Sorry for what? You won't say sorry. Baba, sorry, sorry. Sorry for what? I'm sorry, I'm your child. Ba, 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 ba. Sorry for what? I'm sorry, I took your thing without asking you. Wise parents, well, move on. So what should you do in the future? Never to take your thing without asking you first. Okay. It's not just wise parents to children. Wives to husband as well. Not that I've experienced, but Daniel has a lot of experience. Darling, sorry. Sorry for what? You asked me to take water. I take water, but I do it very unwillingly. Then the wife will quote Ephesians chapter 5. Husband loves your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You should die for me. Take water like I want to die. So you've got to be specific, not general. We need to take the time for confession. I understand that the average counseling session is about 50 minutes. How about setting the time to allow the ultimate counselor, the Holy Spirit, to do a thorough check on our life? Make an appointment with the Holy Spirit this week. Go somewhere, set an hour. Take a lunch break. Don't go for lunch. Go somewhere else. Or wake up a bit earlier or sleep a bit later. Stop watching so much of your K-drama. Just take 15 minutes, an hour. Just go before the Holy Spirit. Read your Bible, go before the Holy Spirit. Tell me. Are there any wrongs in me? Any wrong attitude in me? Help me to change. Martin Luther, the great reformer, would confess his sins for up to 6 hours a day. Sometimes every day. This was because he was so obsessed with confession and believed that he needed to confess every sin to find peace with God. His spiritual supervisor, Johannes van Stotspies, got frustrated with Luther's long list of confession. Stotspies would try to shock Luther out of his obsession by saying things like, "Luther, God is not angry with you. Please move on." We do not need to be as extreme as Martin Luther, but we do need to take the time to meditate, to confess, and to repent. This is how we grow. We need to be specific in our confession. Then not only will we, listen, receive God's forgiveness, we'll also be transformed. You see, we confess not only to be forgiven, but to be changed. I don't confess just to be forgiven, just to kind of get it out of our hearts. I hope our church, you know, recently, I think I was here the last time, and there was a slide, you know, the rolling slide, right? I think they call it rolling slide, like before the movie start rolling. Is it called rolling slide, whatever? Then there was one, the communion dates, right? And then I asked Rachel, hey, how come now we show communion dates? Then Pastor Daniel says that because those at home, right, they need to know to prepare communion so that they won't kalang kabut suddenly halfway during service. Communion, then they kalang kabut, take out the... I don't know what I don't know how to pronounce the shavanashimwa, whatever. Take out the blue cheese, and then, so they can be prepared. You know, I hope, right, because I know of some churches, right, the communion service, the attendance go up a lot. That means, let's say, first week of the month is communion, right? So second, third, fourth week, communion, I think kind of wrong understanding. You just come thinking that take the thing, take a day, then go and pee out all your sin, come out, you know, or whatever. We don't confess. We don't confess just to be forgiven. We confess to be changed. When we don't take confession seriously, we do not change. That's why we keep cycling back to say sorry, but there's no transformation. Just keep coming back. We are sorry. But there's no transformation. Proverbs 28, verse 13, the Bible says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. These are those who walk in darkness, lowest level. But the Bible says, but the one who confesses, but not just confesses, and renounces them finds mercy. You confess and you renounce, and you can only renounce if you are specific. Now, what happens when we acknowledge and confess our sins? What happens when we truly come to a place where we acknowledge and confess? This is so important. You know, this verse, right? 1 John 1:9, next verse, right? It's the first verse my mentor asked me to remember. I didn't understand why, but I think I understand now. Because, you know, I surely need this verse. See, you got to know this, you know. And this is so important. This is so important because the Bible says, if we confess our sins, everybody, let's read together, shall we? If we confess our sins, come on, everybody. God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So when we understand the significance of the communion, it's not come, just drink it, then kind of push our sin away, but to come to a place. In fact, I was telling the programming team, you know, If everybody is as imaginative as me, we can save money on communion. We don't have to buy the communion element. Because at the end of the day, communion element, the power is not in this. The power, the Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. Am I not right? So I say, imagine we can all do air communion, we save a lot of money, right? We don't, but everybody now, imagine, right? Take out everybody. Because at the end of the day, it's remembering. So you can have this element, and you don't remember, you don't renounce, and there's no transformation. You can not have this element, which I'm not suggesting we do that, and yet be able to remember and renounce. Because if you understand the power, not of this, but what this causes us to remember, it changes our life. It purifies us from all unrighteousness. Not some, not most, all unrighteousness. Now let me end with the story of Jill Price. You can pick a date, any date, after the 5th of February 1980. Jill Price can instantly tell you what day of the week it was, what she did on that day, and any major event that took place. She can even tell you what the weather was like. For most of us, our problem is remembering. For Jill Price, her problem is forgetting. She has this condition called hyperthymestic syndrome. It is a rare condition where individuals can recall vast numbers of personal life experience in vivid detail. Jill can recall every day of her life from the age of 14 onward. For the average person, autobiographical memory is highly selective. We tend to remember emotional experiences or significant events like a first love, a big game, or an epic adventure. Studies suggest that just 3% of life events are highly memorable. So over the course of an average year, approximately 17 experiences will make it into the long-term memory. The other 97% does not make the cut. Most of life fades into the black hole of subconscious. But that's not true. For Jill Price, she remembers everything. That might seem like a gift, and it is. If you are trying to remember names or birthdays or happen to be on a game show with a lot of prize money that tests your memory, but there is a downside, a dark side, if I may add. In her memoir, The Woman Who Can't Forget, Jill says, imagine being able to remember every fight you ever had with a friend. Every time someone let you down, all the stupid mistakes you have ever made, the meanest and most harmful things you have ever said to people and those that have been said to you. Then imagine not being able to push them out of your mind no matter how hard you try. For Jill, the emotions aren't dulled down by time. They are just as potent as the day she experience them. And I'll quote from this part of the book. She wrote this: as I grew up and more memories were stored in my brain, more and more of them flashed through my mind in this endless barrage, and I became a prisoner to my memory. A prisoner to my memory. In that respect, Jew isn't alone. Subconsciously or consciously, many of us are also prisoners of our past. Even if we have confessed our sins, we still feel condemned. And that feeling of condemnation undermines the fact that God is for us. We keep beating ourselves up. We keep sabotaging ourselves. That's why I see people in church. Sometimes we come to a place, we keep struggling. We keep struggling. I don't know how many times I spoke to women. They have had abortion maybe 20, 30 years ago. And every time during Mother's Day celebration, during Children's Day, they will just feel this sense of guilt. I say, God has forgiven you. That's a terrible thing, terrible thing. I'm a murderer, I'm a murderer. Yes, you are. But God has forgiven you. Listen to me, friends. Listen to me. Some of us, we don't live in joy. Because subconsciously, right? All these wrong things still kind of hold us back. And we don't understand the gravity of what Jesus had done. So every time we take the communion, we think that it's just a ritual. We just go through it, move on. But we don't really take the time to kind of like, wow, God, what a wonderful name. What a beautiful name. You've been so good to me. I don't know where I'll be if not for you, if not for you. And we mean it. No matter what we are going through, the fact that God loves us, He washes our sins away. That is a cause for rejoicing. Can someone say amen? The Bible tells us one more time, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He'll forgive you and I our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's so ironic, isn't it? Man who is forgetful, we choose to remember. But God, who remembers everything, choose to forget. It's so mind-blowing. But that's true. That's grace. That's the gospel. Do you know this God? Yes? Do you know this God? Yes? Have you ever come to a place, you say, God, I'm forgiven. Why? Why am I so critical, God? Why am I so critical? Some of us should ask that question. Maybe take a time to kind of repent before God. Why am I so critical? Why do I always like to make people look small so that I look bigger? Why am I so insecure? Why am I so angry? And then every time I'm angry, as a husband in the home, then I hide behind the facade that I'm a strong guy, I'm type A guy, whatever nonsense, you know. But the truth is that I'm weak. I need to exercise control by using my masculinity and just tell people to do what I want them to do. Why am I so lustful? Why am I so lustful? Why do I always look at women and look at men in an objectified way? What's wrong with me? Maybe we need to come to a place and say, what's wrong with me? Maybe some of us, we're not stepping out to leadership and then we hide behind the facade that, you know, this is not for me. But I tell you honestly, the truth is that we are afraid of failure. We are afraid of stepping out for God. And then our real self come out and then people know, actually, we're not so sad. And then we're like, then we try to echo, I don't want this kind of church thing, sing here, sing there. But in truth, that we are insecure. Why are we like that? Maybe we are like that because we grew up in a family where we always get criticized. Whatever we do, we always get criticized. We never get affirmed. That's why we are afraid. Even in church, in our Father's house, we are still afraid. Don't step out. Don't do anything. Stay safe. Maybe, why are some of us, we don't tithe faithfully? Why? We hear in the video, right? 90% with God is better than 100% without God. Why? Gentlemen, is it about 10%? If it's 1%, are you okay? 20%, too much. How many percent? The issue is not the percentage. The issue is about your trust in God. We need to come to a place, friends. Do a heart check. Don't just go to service, friends. Going to service makes you a Christian as much as going to McDonald's make you a hamburger, right? Just go to service. Come to God. Come, let's take out our communion cup right now, shall we? Come. Let's not open it as yet. Let's take out our communion. Let's leave it up to the Lord. Let's be silent before the Lord for a little while, shall we? Those of you watching on the screen as well, come, just leave up our cup. Don't open it as yet. Just don't open it as yet. Just. I'm going to remain silent for a while. I'm going to allow all of us time to come before the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to do some work in our hearts this morning. Please be honest before the Lord. No way to pretend. No way to act cute. Come before the Lord just as you are. He knows. He accepts. And He loves. for you. And we give you the right to go to every single room in our hearts. Especially those rooms who are a bit dark, those who are locked, because we try to hide our weakness, our sins, away from you. Lord, we give you the key to all these rooms right now. Lord, we give you the master key into every room of our hearts. Lord, help me, oh God. Help me, Lord Jeff Chong, to live a life that is secure in you, to love you, to honor you, to be secure in you, not in what people think, what people say, but to always give you my best, oh God, because you deserve it, oh God. I'm just a child. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to love you. And I pray, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters, Lord, teach us to come before you, oh God. Naked, oh God, before you. Hearts totally open to you. Help us to understand that wherever we have been, whatever they have done, when we come before you and we confess and renounce our sins, you are faithful and just, and you forgive us of all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Wash us clean. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, let's take out the bread right now. He took out the bread. Let's not take it as yet. Let's take out the bread and leave it before the Lord. Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took out the bread and he said to his disciples, and he's saying the same to us right now, that this is my body broken for you. I love you so much that I would rather die than to live without you. I give you my body so that it can be right before God. Let's consume the bread together. Let's leave our cup to the Lord. After that, Jesus took the cup, said, "This is my blood shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Those your sin may be as crimson, they shall be white as snow. You have a right standing before me, not because you are good, but because I am good, because my Son is good. He took your place. He paid a price that you can never ever pay, so that you can live life, life in all its abundance, life in freedom, life in wholeness, life in joy. No matter what happens to you on the outside, in you there's always joy, there's always freedom, there's always victory. This is my covenant with you." Amen. Let's partake the cup together. Stand to our feet, everybody. Amen. Come, Brian, let's worship the Lord. Come, let's worship the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for
let's sing
grace.
With all our hearts. We are clean. Amen.
I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you believe me now. Turn my whole life upside down to the old and he made it new. It's just what the mercy of God can. I'm so glad that
Christian in America, one thing that they do, right, they use body posture in their prayer. So one of the things they do, right, when they pray, right, is that they'll go before the Lord, and then they will, if y'all can watch me, right, they will put their hand down. They put their hand down this way. When they put their hand down, right, it's like 放下, Chinese, right, 放下. They put things down. Maybe some of you, 要放下, God, I'm a sinner. God, I'm so sorry for what I've done. God, I'm so sorry for the way I behave towards my kids. God, I'm sorry I did this, I did that. God, I'm so sorry. I'm a worrier. Instead of warrior, I'm a worrier. So the Quakers, right, actually, they'll do this. No? They will really put their hand down. They'll take quite some time. It's quite helpful because literally they do it now. Of course, in Singapore, we can do it. Yeah, when I take an MRT, you can do it also, right? Because you are driving, don't do lah, huh? Okay, so you can put your hand down, put your hand down. Then after that, you put your hand down. Then after, when they are done ready, right, then they will flip their hands up. 放下,然后就领受, so they'll receive from God. After they put down, now they'll lift up their hands. They'll say, God, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your grace. I receive your blessings. I receive your presence. I receive your guidance, your comfort, your strength. And it's so helpful. The Quakers will do this. Right? I know we're not Quakers. We eat Quakers oat, right? But we're not Quakers. So can we do that right now? 好不好? 我们就把我们手放下好吧? 来, 我, we turn our hand down. Turn our hand down. For a while. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. Turn your hand down. Some of you worry about your children. 放下. Some of you worry about your job. 放下. Some of you feel condemned as a husband, as a wife, as a parent. Some of you today, you hear, you cannot walk in darkness. You need to 放下. I let go of all the sin, all this refusal to repent. The way I relate with people is just off. 你要 放下. 放下. Some of you, I criticize the church all the time. 放下. The church is the bride of Christ. You don't criticize someone's bride. 放下. 放下. If you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem in church. That's true. 放下. 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 East Center, 放下. Let's dump it all here. Let's dump it all at the cross. Can you flip your hands over? 放下了我们把手张开. So Lord, we receive your love, your grace, your goodness, your guidance. Lord, you are with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter how far south we have gone, Lord, when we repent, Lord, when we renounce our sin, Lord, we can always come back to you and start afresh. We thank you that you will never forsake us. You who did not spare your own son, but willingly give up for us all, how will you not along with Jesus graciously give us all things, Lord, we receive you, Lord. If you be for us, nobody, nothing can be against us, oh God. Lord, we receive it, oh God. Lord, your plans are good for us. Your plans are good for us. Though we may not understand, we may not see it, but you're always good for us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us, oh God. Lord, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. He that's in us is stronger than he who's in the world. Oh Lord, you are greater than any medical report. You are bigger than any mishap, any burden. Lord, you are bigger, oh God. Come to me, all you who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest, God says. Come before the Lord, come before the Lord, come before the Lord. Don't leave this meeting just attending a service. No brownie point before God attending service. We come and we come to Jesus, not just come to service, we come to Jesus. Receive it before the Lord, receive it before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, we honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed. There's some of you here, the truth about you is that you do not yet know Jesus. You may have been to church before, you may have a Christian name, but the truth is that you have never ever said yes to Jesus in your life. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And the most important decision you can ever make is to know Jesus personally. So if you are here today, you do not yet know Jesus, I want to invite you, if you want to say yes to Jesus, I want to invite you to pray this prayer together with me. This prayer is specially designed for you to say yes to Jesus and to invite him into your life for the very first time. And those of you who are already Christian, would you pray together with our new friends as well, so that they can also receive Jesus, so that they can receive Jesus into their hearts. Would you pray with me? Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
One more time, everybody say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner. And I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you.
For dying on the cross. For my sins.
Right now.
I invite you. To come into my life. Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
The kind of person.
I was created to be. I pray all this. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.